Welcome everybody to Caves and Scows West.
West.
Issue 6.6. I feel like you guys even rushed to West. This is going to be a Fast and Furious issue, people.
Is it 6.66 is the episode?
6.66.
6.5, what did I say?
6.6. It's okay.
It's the episode of the beast.
Alright, issue 6.5, our ever-loved comic reviews. I'm not starting. Someone start.
Right. I will start.
Woohoo!
I'm going to jump right into Star Wars Darth Vader number 3 by Charles Soule and Giuseppe Comicoli. Got to say it like that.
I love that name.
So this centers around Darth Vader finding Jedi Master Kirak Infala, who was one of the Jedi who took the Barash vow prior to Order 66, so he was not around during the Jedi initial purge where the stormtroopers took a basically kill them, all of the Jedi. So he's been studying the Force forever, and he basically, like, has a fortress, and he trains in the Force. But this is going to sound really weird. Nothing happens in this series, and this is the perfect comic book. I don't know how to illustrate the fact that reading this is pure joy. The story is not advancing forward. It is literally 20 pages of action and, oh my god, moments. Because you are literally watching a master of the Force taking on Vader right before Vader peaks to be like the monster that we know.
Yeah.
And he cannot stand up to this guy.
Wow.
It is a, it's basically like the Kung Fu Master scenario where Vader is ascending a tower to reach the master at the top, and he's getting wrecked on the way, and when he makes it to the top, it is a few seconds before he's out. Yep.
Wow.
It's done. Knocked off of a bridge and gone. I mean, Vader's so beaten in this that one of his legs is showing the mechanical parts. Like, it's just hanging out.
Jeez.
Yeah. This is wonderful. This is a book that...
Is it like an 80s montage, though? I feel like...
No, it's like... It's just... No, you hear John Williams' score playing as this is happening.
I saw a funny video the other day that was a 30-second clip of Darth Maul fighting, and they replaced all the lightsaber sounds with Owen Wilson saying, "Wow."
Wow!
Stop! I can't deal with
it. Unlike that, this is amazing.
Let's go. Yes. All right. What is that again? Title?
Star Wars: Darth Vader number 3.
All right. Awesome. We'll go next. Peter Parker, the Spectacular Spider-Man, number
Spider-Man
2.
Spider-Man.
So initially, I was into it. So I was into this is interaction with Spider-Man and Riri, which is Ironheart, which is the new Iron Man, which I thought was really cool. It was really fun. I enjoyed it. And then you get a little bit of Human Torch. That's cool. And the last one really did kind of like set up this idea that Peter Parker has a sister. Here's my issue. Is that they plucked the sister from nowhere and put her into this comic. It wasn't the right pluck. Like, you could have plucked a million things, but you pluck this random girl who's supposed to be his sister to put him in the story. Now, the only reason you had to do that, which is why I don't like this character, the only reason you had to do that is because you need to introduce the Kingpin back into this book. And their connection between this girl and Kingpin, and why Kingpin's going to be a really big factor into Spider-Man's life, is a big deal. But it's like you had to pick her in order to get Kingpin into the story. And she didn't do anything for me.
Interesting.
She made it feel stale for me. The first date didn't go like I thought it was going to be way funnier. It wasn't as funny and fun and as I thought it was going to be. So, I mean, Peter Parker, the Spectacular Spider-Man, number 2, that's a lot of words. I would say still go pick it up and see where it goes. I wasn't against this book. There was just a few things that just kind of like, I don't know. You guys could try it harder.
What did you think about the commentary on, like, continuity and kind of how it's... Because they play off his sister as being like the explanation is so convoluted that they're winking at the audience. It's like, yeah, we get it. There's some stupid shit in the comments. And they even like they make an editorial reference to Secret Empire, and it's like, yeah, we don't know really where this fits in the story. Right. I felt like that worked. What did you think of those elements?
There wasn't anything wrong with it. It just maybe I was already turned off by the sister that I couldn't even like
I couldn't
enjoy those moments. So, yeah, so there's a new character, is Peter Parker's sister, but not sister, but sister, in the book. So.
You just described the X-Men right there.
Yeah. And like every soap opera ever.
Right, pretty much, yes.
My sister is back from the dead, but she is also not my sister, and now she is married to my brother, who is also not my brother.
Now she's my sister, we found out.
She is my sister and sister-in-law, and not my sister, and not my sister-in-law.
And now we're at Game of Thrones.
So anyway, that's my review. Peter Parker, the Spectacular Spider-Man. I give it a B-.
Nice. All right, well, I know I do this once a month, but I got to talk about Squirrel Girl number 22. It's a new story arc, so all of you who haven't gotten into it as of yet, definitely go out, pick it up. They're going to the Savage Lands, which is like
a place in
Antarctica that still has dinosaurs for some reason. I'm not going to talk about the plot. There's just like a couple elements in here, which is why Squirrel Girl is amazing. So firstly, on one of the first pages, she's reading her computer science textbooks, which are all the most amazing titles for if they had these titles, I would be a computer science major too. So you got The Old Man and the Sea, you got Jane Eyre, you got Lord of the Files, Pings Fall Apart, and $S equals Brave New World.
Nice.
And
The Old Man and the Sea is the letter C.
Yeah, the letter C.
Oh, I didn't know what that is. I'm glad you just clarified that. Yeah. Like, I don't get it. That's the name of the book.
Yeah. The letter C. So, okay. For all of you computer science nerds out there, I'm sure you're just dying right now. I was dying. I don't know anything about any of those things. Another one, you got The Discovery of the Savage Lands by, like, this Colonial Times guy who just says, I just want to read this one thing. It says, I shall dub these lands savage because I am from Colonial Times, an era of assumptions both unexamined and problematic.
Nice.
Which is just amazing. And also, so they get to the Savage Lands. There's also some people from Latveria there, which is Dr. Doom's country.
Mm-hmm.
He's reading a book that's entitled Eat, Pray, Doom. And then nice. The Latverian passport is the most amazing passport I've ever seen. It just has a picture of Dr. Doom. It says Latverian passport. And under it, it says, admit the Latverian bringing this passport into your country or face the personal wrath of doom.
Nice.
So,
that's awesome.
Just that. And then finally, this letters page. Squirrel Girl, I swear, is the reason that Marvel does letters pages. They've been doing it since the first issue. Or the reason they brought them back. Because they've been doing it since the first issue. And this one is just amazing. We got custom Legos of Squirrel Girl made by one of the readers. We got this cute little, like, 8, 9, 10-year-old girl dressed up as Squirrel Girl. We got some rats dressed up as Tippy Toe. We got letters from librarians and 10-year-olds and, like, PhD candidates. All in one letters page. It's like, it's amazing. And of course, a little Kraven the Hunter extra at the end.
Of course.
Yeah.
Still loving it then.
Yeah. Still amazing. Always go out and pick up Squirrel Girl.
All right.
All right. Well, next on my list is Corgi Short Tails. And Tails is spelled T-A-I-L-S. Mm. Adorable. This is from Top Shelf Comics. It's by Christian Slade and family, I should say. There's no dialogue in this. It is all inference from panel pacing and what's in the images, and it is absolutely wonderful. I have a couple of the Corgi trades. They're just a joy to read. It's very high fantasy. Sprout can breathe fire. So, you know, just picture a corgi with a, dragon tongue. It is lovely. There's one specific story in here called Bath Time, a Short Corgi Tale. And it's about Sprout not wanting to take a bath at all and like jumping out of it and looking like the most pathetic thing in the world. And then he chases a dragonfly creature into a, you know, a waterfall lake, and it's just happy as can be. And it's like, what the hell? And being somebody who has a corgi,
yeah,
so real, so great. It's beautiful pen art. This is definitely just one of those easy pickups, make you smile.
Yeah.
Yeah, I absolutely love this.
And it's actually it's a good dog to breed to animate in such a way, because people are in love with
my gosh,
corgis.
They're so, oh my gosh.
Corgi parades and corgi blah, 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 everything.
Don't they have a tour de corgi here in Fort Collins that's coming up?
That's what I've heard.
Yeah. Yeah, people who own
corgis. They should sell that at that.
They should.
At that event.
I, yeah.
They would even get picked up like crazy.
Y'all should just
sell
one booth. Just have a giant stack of corgi comics.
Yeah, it would totally sell.
And yeah, that's actually a really great idea.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Cool.
Like, you wouldn't even need, like, too big of a table, honestly.
Nope. So this is a one-shot, bam, there
This is a I think it's a collection of some of the stuff that may have been in, like, Free Comic Day or different, like, backups for things. Mm. There are corgi trades out there that are a continuing story of long form. Yeah, right. Just so great.
Nice.
So happy.
Nice. So you guys have some of that in stock here?
We do, absolutely. Right. Here at That's Griffin good. Games and Comics, Fort Collins.
What's the address?
Probably
again?
You corgi fans.
It is 1119 West Drake Road, Unit C30.
80526.
Yep, there we go.
Awesome. All right, I'm jumping in. I'm going to go with, I don't know which one.
Eeny, meeny, miny, moe.
I'm the Mighty Thor. So, I don't know. I feel like we talked a lot about Mighty Thor, so I'm not going to talk too much about it. Except for the War Thors on the scene and taking names and, well, not even taking names. He's killing them too quickly.
Oh.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
It's pretty intense.
Straight up murderers?
He's like, murdering people left and right.
Well, like fire demons. So.
I mean, they're people.
Yeah, they're
people. They have emotions. So. They have thoughts.
They don't seem like very nice people.
No, though, they're not
personally.
Nice.
And I'm sorry if I offend any fire demons out there. It's just ignorance on my part. So yeah. I apologize.
Go watch Bright.
Okay. Yeah. He's very much a shoot lightning first and don't bother to ask questions later kind
That's
of
right.
Thor.
That's right. definitely. So you get introduced to... So basically it's all about War Thor doing his thing. And Enchantress and Oleg decide, oh, I want to get in on that action. And they get beat down. So War Thor is not playing around. I'm pretty sure I thought one of them was going to die for sure. Between the Enchantress and Oleg, I thought for sure one was going to die on this issue. But they... Well, I'm not going to tell you. Maybe they do. And then you get
they
some more Jane.
They don't come out there fully intact.
Yeah. And you get some Jane Foster, and the Jane Foster scene that you do get with her, she's going to die. That's all I'm going to say. All right, and done.
Okay, so for mine, I'm going to talk about Black Cloud. So this is one I started with the first two issues. I dropped it kind of quickly. It was just too much. Kind of, there's so much going on in this book. So I picked it up again just to see where it's going. And I feel like it's kind of falling into its stride. So I'm going to tentatively... the concept is amazing. There's like two different worlds and it's kind of like Inception meets the Wizard of Oz in like a weird way and it's like the main character is from this like fantasy world and then she got trapped in the human world and couldn't get back for a while and now she's back. And everyone's like, where the fuck were you? Like shit's gone down since you left. And they keep referencing, like, war and famine and, like, and it's amazing, too. The art in it is just phenomenal. Like, the just random things these people having a conversation about, like, hey, what have you been up to since I've been gone? While in the background there's just giant blob monsters attacking a city that's, like, on the ground and in the sky, like, mirrored.
Mm.
And... It's just very high fantasy, very cool feel, giant college student randomly, and then it's really interesting. I have no idea where it's going. Yeah. I have no idea what's really happening.
Sure.
But it was a lot of fun to read, and I'm really interested to see sort of when it picks up its stride, because I feel like they have a lot to say, and they're trying to put it all in there at once.
Black Cloud number four. Alright. What company is publishing that?
It's Image.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Image.
Yep.
Alright.
Alright, Nat.
So, I'm going to continue on my theme of just, like, fun in comic books this week.
Mm-hmm.
And talk about Super Sons number 6, which is Planet of the Capes, part 1. This is written by Peter Tomasi with art by Jorge Jimenez, who is a name you need to remember because he's going to be one of the biggest artists, period, in comics. So Super Sons as a story is about Damian Wayne and John Kent, and how Damian Wayne really thinks he needs to take Superboy under his wing and teach him how to be a superhero. And Damian's messed up in the head, so this is kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But this story is post them, post them first teaming up. Now they're, you know, kind of used to each other and going out at night in Metropolis. And there's a really lovely moment in the beginning where Lois and Clark are talking about the curfew that Superboy has, and Superboy's response is, "Come on, it's Friday. Damian's dad lets him stay out all night." And Superboy's response to that is, "Damian's dad dresses like a bat and gets hit in the head 28 times every night, so maybe not the best argument." And that sets the tone for the entire issue right there. It's a very happenstance. They're adventuring, fall into the, you know, they show them doing random stuff, but they fall into a bigger story once Superboy has to go back because of his curfew. This is one of the most beautiful renditions of Starfire in this book. You get to see the Teen Titans. This was just super fun. The ending leaves you with a, oh shit, what's going to happen next scenario, especially because Damian in his state at the end of this is still talking like Damian, but things have changed.
A little bit.
And they introduce a character with, like, the worst name ever, the Time Commander.
I know. Why?
So great. So, like, cheesy comic book. Just a total blast to read. Leander, what did you think?
I thought the same thing. You nailed it. It was a great book. Pick it up. Read it. The art is just so much fun. So much fun, this art. So, it fits with the story perfectly. So, and I'm glad for the cameo of the Teen Titans, too. They added a little something.
Hopefully they get to be in more the next coming issues, because I really think that seeing the dynamic of all of them together will be hilarious.
Yeah, I was shocked at how much of a leadership role that Robin was taking on.
I think he just put himself in that role.
He might have just put himself, but the more important thing, they all listened. So, they might have just put him in, but they listened. I'm just going to quickly say, I'm going to do two really, really quick, really fast. The Ultimate Squared. It's amazing. I love it. Mr. Fantastic, which is not the Mr. Fantastic, it's the alternate Mr. Fantastic, is in this book. He's nailing it. The characters are nailing it. It's Ultimate Squared, number 9, is what you were expecting. This is what you ever wanted for Ultimates, was this issue number 9.
Huh.
So pick it up. It's sad to say that, like, for a long time it was so slow that I couldn't wait for it to end, which is why I canceled it out of my bin. But now, oh my gosh, they are about to nail it hard in a really good way. So I'm excited about that. And then Aquaman number 26. I mean, obviously you know why I picked it up. The art of Stefan Sejek, as we call him, is fantastic. But even the story is continuing to be amazing and fun. This new character, this new female character that's being introduced, she shows off some of her powers, more of it. I find it to be just completely an amazing book, so, to read. So, and of course the art doesn't hurt at all. So that's my review of Ultimate Squared and Aquaman number 26. Go pick it up, read it, enjoy it, just have fun with it.
Nice. I think I'm gonna get into, there's no way I can talk about this book without getting really in depth, so I'm gonna try to keep it as not so, but so Bitch Planet is a book that I have been meaning to pick up for a while. We got a one-off here. This is Bitch Planet triple feature number 2, so I guess they've done a triple feature before.
I think it's 5 issues total for the triple feature
one. 5 issues total? Okay, cool. So 3 short stories, all of them amazing.
Nice.
Great amazing premises. The subtle undertones of this are amazing. I need to start this by reading this Judith Butler quote because, yes, that's just what I need to do. So, she's a big gender theorist. She's pretty much the person that founded the idea that gender is on a spectrum and that gender and sex are not related, basically. She's a huge theorist about that. So, she says, the iterability of gender performance implies that performance is not a single act or event, but a ritualized production, a ritual reiterated under and through constraint, under and through the force of prohibition and taboo, with the threat of ostracism and even death controlling and compelling the shape of production. And so for a book that's about how women are literally ostracized to this planet, this prison planet, if they don't conform to the social norms, I feel like this is like feminist theory put into comic books. So the first one, the first short story is a smile competition to see which woman has the best smile. And they're all, it's like a teen beauty pageant, except instead of measuring beauty and performance, it's smile and the size and shape of their neck.
Oh, my God.
The second one is a, like, Stepford Housewives-esque thing where we get, like, the classic, like, wife doing the chores in an evening gown and heels as she's standing on a step stool and, you know, dusting the fan.
Classic.
And, like, this woman on TV who's, like, smiling outwardly and her eyes are just yelling, help me. Like, I can't keep up this performance anymore. And all the women are like, oh, without a job now, I can just focus on being pretty and looking at this. And then in the end of this, we get, like, this 1984, like, dystopian, like, gym, basically, where they're all on a treadmill.
Wow.
Doing this. And then the third one, third short story, we got this woman who's aging and she hasn't had babies yet, and the government is hitting her with the old maid tax because she hasn't had children. So she tries dating to find people. There's a scene of her online dating with a bunch of guys that are basically saying the most like crude and sexist and weird things. And there's a little like star at the bottom that says everything you just read was a real thing one human being said to another. Dating is fun. And
sounds right.
Then, yeah, and then her friend's like, oh, just download this app called Dick Pic. It's where guys put a profile on and then upload pictures of their penises, and you can swipe, you know, left or right on the dicks that you like. And
sounds like dating.
And then in the very end of this, it's like she, yeah, it's so spot on. And in like, just like 8 pages too, it's just ridiculous. And in the very end of this, she ends up doing surrogacy to avoid this tax. And we have this thing, the main character who's trying to do this is Hispanic. And when she has the surrogate kid, the doctor holds up this like 1 through 8 skin tone chart to the baby and says, congratulations, it looks like you can get a full tax refund.
Wow.
It's just all in all, it's it's so heavy and so harsh, and it's amazing. I immediately went and bought volume one, pulled it from my box. If it's not, it's the opposite of Super Sons.
Yeah,
it's the opposite of this. Like, if you want to have a hard, in depth read about like modern day feminism and feminist theory, not just like, oh, let's, you know, be shirtless and stuff.
Right.
If you want to talk about gender performity and all this stuff. So in the back, we also got a little like interesting bits. We got a feminist has a conversation with a futurist about the future of women in economics, which is really interesting. It brought up the term pink collar, which I've not heard before, which are jobs specifically associated with women. And then at the very end, the last page, we have microaggression bingo, which is for females and people of color. You know, check off this if it's happened. A white dude thinks he's a samurai. Mrs. husband's first and last name. Cats are girls, dogs are boys. Mildly pissed off women called hysterical. Just a great fun time for the whole family. That's really cool.
Yeah, this sounds really interesting. It's basically what's happening on the outside of the Bitch Planet world, right?
Yeah, so this is... So Bitch Planet takes primarily place on a prison planet for non-compliant women. And this is showing what's happening back on the home world for women who have not been shipped off yet. So it's intense. It still has, like, an interesting, humorous tone to it in a lot of the ways. It's one of those things where you're like, ha, 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 my soul is dying. Smiling on the outside. Like, the women in it, you're smiling on the outside, but your soul is being crushed on the inside. So, very amazing. Pick it up. Unless you don't like thinking about really tough subjects, then it's not at all the comic for you. Which... I can understand. There's just so much stuff going on in this. Okay.
Okay.
I could go on literally for an entire hour about this.
That's awesome. I have no more comics.
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay. Yeah.
We can wrap it here, or do we want to do...
I guess the only other one I had was Black Panther and the Crew Number 4. Amazing. We've mentioned it before. Go pick it up. If you're not reading it already, you're wrong.
You're wrong. You're wrong. Your whole life is wrong.
Your whole life is wrong. Luke Cage is introduced in this one. Mm-hmm. So, you know, Cage pick is uncaged.
Cage is uncaged. That's exactly what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. All right. Well, I guess we'll wrap up issue 6.5 here and now. So say goodbye, everybody.
Bye. Bye.